God had called Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldees. Abraham was a little slow about responding, but he finally came. And with him he brought Lot and Sarah and some servants. And they went out into a land that God had promised them, the land of Canaan. They went into this land, and Abraham went in, and as soon as he got there, a famine came. A famine came into the land. And so Abraham says, well, you know, I'm going to starve if I stay here. I need to go down to Egypt. So he loaded up everybody, and they went down to Egypt. Now, on the way down to Egypt, Abraham says, Sarah, you are looking good. And they're going to kill me to get you. So let's tell them, rather than telling them that you're my wife, let's tell them that you're my sister. Okay, so they go down, and sure enough, Pharaoh takes Sarah and puts her into his harem. Now, that's not good. But you know what? God does not like a man taking another man's wife. And so what he did was he began to plague Pharaoh. Pharaoh woke up and said, wow, this isn't good. Abraham, I believe this is your wife. Tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you silver and gold and servants and all the money you want, and all the animals and cattle. I'm going to make you a millionaire. Just leave. Before he touched her, all things. And let me tell you a secret here now. Now listen, are you listening to me? This wasn't the only time he pulled this trick. You know, I've always wondered, Abraham, you dummy. Why did you do that again? Because later in the book of Genesis, we find he does the same thing with Abimelech. He goes down to Abimelech's place, and there he says, Sarah, you're looking good. Tell them you're my sister. Abimelech takes her. The same thing happens again. Let me tell you something. You can make mess after mess after mess after mess. I don't care how many times you mess up. If you're loving God and you're walking according to His purposes, He will turn every mess, all things, into something good for your life. Abraham had this figured out. Well, God blessed me the first time. I bet He'll bless me this time. And do you know what God did? Never addressed Abraham about doing that. Addressed Abimelech. Addressed Pharaoh. All things. You can mess up and mess up. But if you're loving God and you're walking according to His purpose, I'm here to tell you, you can be blessed. We talked about Lot. You know what happened with Lot? You know, there was this little strife between the herdsmen, and Abraham says, I don't want there to be any strife between me and you. He says, if you take the left, I'll go to the right. If you go to the right, I'll take the left. Well, you know what Lot did? Lot looked towards Sodom. The grass was pretty and green. So Lot went and took the good land. And you know what happened to Lot? You know what happened to Lot and his family? Do you know? Terrible, terrible. Down there with a bunch of homosexuals. Terrible stuff happening. Incestual things between Lot and his daughters. His wife turned into a pillar of salt. Because Lot was not walking after the purposes of God. Lot didn't love God. Lot was hanging out with Abraham to get the spillover. Are you hanging out with God just to get the spillover? Are you really loving God to get the real blessing? And so what happened with Abraham is soon, and you can read it in chapter 13 and maybe right at 14. But anyway, just as soon as Lot left, God told Abraham, okay, Abraham, now lift up. Now that Lot has departed from you, now, Abraham, you lift up your eyes and you look to the north and the south and the east and the west. I'm going to give it all to you. It's not Lot's. It's yours, Abraham. All things work together for good. And as I was looking at Abraham's life, I ran into one that I really didn't understand. Because if all things work together for good, for those that love God and for those that are called according to His purpose, I had a problem. Because I ran into Hagar, Ishmael. But the Bible says all things. Well, I've never heard anybody tell me what came out of that good. How can anything come out of that good? Now, let me refresh you of the story. For those of you that aren't familiar with it. Sarah wanted to give Abraham a son.
And Sarah was getting up in age. But she could not conceive. And so Sarah developed this plan. She says, okay, Abram, tell you what. I got a handmaid. I got a servant whose name is Hagar. And I'll tell you what. If you want to, you can take Hagar and you can lay with Hagar and you can have a baby with Hagar. Doesn't seem Abraham had a problem with that. Hagar was young. Sarah. I have big thoughts, you know. I see Hagar, you know. Well, here's Sarah. And Sarah's pretty old and wrinkled, and you know. Sarah. And here's Hagar. She walks in looking good, you know. And God has split up the side of her dress. both sides, yeah. Both. And Hagar is young. Hagar is looking good. And so Abraham takes Hagar, and Hagar conceives and produces a son named Ishmael. Now say Ishmael back. Ishmael. Everybody say Ishmael. Ishmael, because it's very, very important to how I'm going to land this thing. Ishmael. Ishmael's bad around Ishmael. It smelled bad around Abraham's house. It got smelly around Abraham's place here. And so when Hagar conceived and produced Ishmael, a son for Abraham, his first son, when that happened, Sarah began to have problems with Hagar because Hagar was kind of flaunting this thing and had gotten into a certain position into Abraham's life that Sarah didn't like. And also, so Sarah began to cause Hagar grief. Well, Hagar was causing Sarah grief, and it was really smelling bad. It smells bad around Abraham's house. And this got bad. Well, a little later, Sarah does conceive. And she produces Abraham a son named Isaac. Now Sarah was okay with Hagar and Ishmael's until they began to mock the kid. Now, you mamas understand this. You're okay. You can take a lot of stuff. But when somebody starts messing with that kid, right? And this was the last straw. This was the last thing that... So Sarah commanded Abraham, get her out of here and that kid. And it broke Abraham's heart. But he did. But New Testament says the bondwoman and the child left. They left. Now, Isaac was the son of Abraham and Sarah. So we have Abraham, we have Isaac. Isaac had two sons, Esau and Jacob. Jacob was the one that the lineage came through. And then Jacob had 12 sons. And one of the youngest ones was Joseph. Remember Joseph? Remember Joseph? Joseph was Jacob's favorite. Of all 12 sons, he liked Joseph the best. And he made him a coat of many colors. Remember that? And Joseph was the one that really had the anointing. He was the one that got the dreams and the visions. He was the one that really loved God. He was the one that really was after the things of God. He loved God. He would tell his dreams to his brothers, and his brothers would get all upset. He would talk to them about his dream, and they hated Joseph. Said they hated Joseph. They hated Joseph. Now there's where we're landing. Look at Genesis chapter 37. We're going to have it on the overhead for you as well. But I want to read this passage because it's here that we're going to find where Abraham's mess was made good. Four generations, 180 years later, the mess up of Abraham turns to something good. Now, Jacob would send Joseph out to check on the boys. He was like their boss, and they hated that. They hated Joseph. They hated his dreams. They hated that he was the dad's favorite. And it obviously was obvious. You know, you would think that Jacob would be a little smarter than that. At least he wouldn't display
But obviously, it was obvious that Joseph was Jacob's favorite. All right, now here, let's read. Verse 18 in Genesis chapter 37. You can read along there, or you can look at me, look on the overhead and see. And when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. And they said one to another, behold, this dreamer cometh. Come now, therefore, and let us slay him and cast him into some pit. And we will say some evil beast hath devoured him. And we shall see what will become of his dreams. And Reuben heard it. And he delivered him out of their hands and said, let us not kill him. And Reuben said unto them, shed no blood, but cast him into this pit that is in the wilderness, and lay no hand upon him, that he might rid him out of their hands, so to deliver him to his father again. And it came to pass, when Joseph was coming to his brethren, that they stripped Joseph out of his coat of many colors, that was on him, and they took him and cast him into a pit. And the pit was empty. There was no water in it. And they sat down to eat bread. And they lifted up their eyes and looked, and behold, a company of Ishmaelites came. A company of Abraham's mess came. They came from Gilead, and their camels bearing spicery and balm and myrrh, going to carry it down to Egypt. And Judah said unto his brethren, what profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Come, I tell you what let's do. Let's sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh, and his brethren were content. And there passed by Midianites merchants, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit, and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver, and they brought Joseph into Egypt. Now, one of the brothers was trying to keep the others from killing him. The odds of that were not good. Joseph was either going to be killed or die in this pit. But just at the right moment, just at the very necessary time, they lifted up their eyes, and here comes Abraham's mess being turned into good. Because all things work together for good. To them that love God, did Joseph love God? Did Abraham love God? To them that are the called according to his purpose. Were they both trying to fulfill their purpose? Absolutely. Joseph would have died. But at the correct moment, here comes Abraham's mess being turned into something good that preserved not only Joseph, and not only the brothers, but the whole plan of God. You know the story. Joseph ends up in Egypt. Goes through all the stuff. Potiphar's wife, the prison. Finally ends up in a very high place in Egypt. Over all the granary. You know the story. His brothers come. Eventually move to Egypt and are blessed because of Joseph. And not only was that the truth, but Joseph became a very powerful, wealthy man. Because all things work together for good, for those that love God, and for those that are the called according to his purpose. I'm here to tell you today that your messes will work good. If you love God, and if you're walking according to his purpose, your messes will turn good for your life, will turn good for your children's life, will turn good for your grandchildren's life, and will turn good up to the fourth generation. God will not take what you did wrong and bring it on your grandchildren. Or he won't even take it and bring it on you. Because all things work together for good. For those that love God. And for those that are called according to his purpose.
Do you hear what I'm trying to say to you? And let me tell you something else. We hear so much today about generational curses that I'm something because my granddaddy was something. No. Not if you're in the kingdom of God. God will take my granddaddy's mess up and make it a blessing for me, not a curse. I'm so tired of that. You say, I'm going to do a message before very long about the issues of life. The issues of life come out of the heart, not out of my heritage. I am blessed today because I love God and because I'm called for His purpose. And I do everything I possibly can to do it and overdo it sometimes. And I want you to be that way. I was thinking, I am so blessed. I don't know how a man can be more blessed. I guess I could have more money, but I don't really want more. I shouldn't even say that, should I? That sounds dumb. I am blessed in every area of my life. I'm so full and so happy. And I look at some believers, and I look at people in our church, and I see them in this endless circle, going through the same stuff every year, every month, every week. And I want you to come to the end of the circle. I want you to stop it. And if you'll love God, if you'll talk to Him, if you'll serve Him, if you want to be in His presence, if you're called according to His purpose, you find out what it is that He wants you to do and do it. The circle ends. And you're blessed. You can get out of the pit. Go to your prosperity. Find your purpose. And sit in the throne with the King. There's an abundant life for the believer. Because all things work together for good. To them that love God. To them that are called according to His purpose.